Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
So this week is Thanksgiving, right? On Thursday, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. And I just felt like this morning, let's look at what the Word has to say about the call to us to give thanks and to celebrate. I love some of those songs that Brad did this morning. A couple of those were new to me. Really enjoyed that. Because we are called to give thanks and to celebrate as Christians. Yeah, we are. So I want to look this morning at how God calls us to do that. I'm going to look at a particular psalm. And it's one that really explicitly does just that. It calls us to give thanks and to celebrate God. And it's actually, this particular psalm is a doxology. In other words, it comes kind of like in the form of a hymn, or actually you could even say like two mini hymns. A doxology is just, it's a word that's derived from two Greek words. Doxa means glory, and logia means saying. It's a hymn of praise to God, sung in worship. And it's a practice common, and has been throughout Christian worship for a long time, that actually has its origin in Hebrew worship. So we're going to look at Psalm 100 this morning. It's a short psalm, and I want to read it to you before sharing some thoughts with you about it this morning. This is what the psalmist writes. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What an amazing psalm that is. What an incredible declaration and invitation to us. And this psalm can be seen as a hymn, basically, that falls into two parts, or two short hymns. They're connected and interrelated as an act of worship. There's like a seamless connection between the two hymns that are sung here as an act of worship performed. The first, I want you to look at this closely if you can, verses 1 to 3, is a hymn for procession, chosen by the people of God, Israel, in this context, as they make their way to the temple in joyful procession. Not in a procession of mourning, but in a procession of joy on their way to the temple to worship God. And second, there is a hymn of thanksgiving that takes place when they arrive at the temple, leading them into a place where they would enjoy a sacred meal together. A reference for that actually is Psalm 81, verses 10 and 16. God's people respond to the invitation of the choir within the temple precincts to enter into the gates, into the courts, with thanksgiving and praise. This psalm, this hymn of praise, it moves back and forth from the call to worship with thanks to an act of celebration and praise. Now, why is that ancient hymn, that psalm, relevant to us now in 2018? Well, one, because it's in God's Word, and God's Word is authoritative for us as followers of Jesus. We recognize it as being immutable, which means it's unchanging. The New Testament tells us that all Scripture actually is written for our benefit. So there's that to begin with. but it's also because God continues to call his people to thanksgiving and praise. This was not just something for Israel then, this is something for us now. We are the spiritual Israel of God. We are the people of God. And God calls us to do what we've been doing this morning, and we continue to do now through the ministry of the word, and that's to offer up to God thanksgiving and praise. So I want you to see a few things in this psalm that are really relevant for us in the way that we respond to the Lord. First, we're called to give thanks with joy. Look at what the psalmist says. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, all the earth seems to me to be a pretty inclusive statement. Like the entire created order and everything therein. Shout with joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So the first thing to see here is we're called to shout joyfully as part of God's created order. As those made in the image of God, as those redeemed by God's Son. Shout for joy. Notice the psalmist does not say whisper melancholically. He says shout for joy. Some Christians sometimes seem to think that, you know, we're supposed to mumble through life, whispering melancholically. No, the scripture says shout for joy. To shout means just that. It means to use volume. To make a noise. This is why the King James Version renders this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. We're supposed to be noisy. The word translated shout in the NIV and noise in the King James is a Hebrew word that means to raise a battle cry. It's raw. It means to raise a battle cry or to sound a trumpet blast. That's what we're invited to do. Now, let me tell you. I think it was Brad this morning that said we are Christian soldiers. When I was growing up in the UK, we used to sing this song, this hymn all the time, Onward Christian Soldiers. You know that one? Yeah. Well, you do now. Onward Christian Soldiers. We've been called into the army of God. When was the last time you heard an army going into battle with a whimper? No, there's a trumpet blast heard, right? The idea is that we give thanks to the Lord as an expression of worship in such a way as to be heard. So that it will resound through the whole earth. The psalmist adds the word joy. The call to thanksgiving and worship is a call to joy. The reality of God as creator and sustainer calls forth from you and me and all those that know and love him a joyful response, gratitude for his great grace upon us. We have life because of him. We have been redeemed because of him. We have a destiny in him because of him. That's something that should light up our hearts with joy as we give thanks to God in worship. Joyful shouts. You know, sometimes we need to really break through the inhibition that we've rationalized because of our own personality or history and worship God in the way that God calls us to. Now, that doesn't mean, let me say this, I better say this or I'll get an email. That doesn't mean there aren't times to dial down worship, okay? Of course there are. But that's not what we're called to do here. We're not called to dial it down. In this particular instance, I do get that there are times when we need to do that. Listen, I like a Gregorian chant as much as an ex-guy. If you don't know what Gregorian chants are, check it out. So the next thing we're told here is worship gladly. Gladness is an expression of living in harmony with God. When you're in harmony with your Creator, your Redeemer, your God, there's a sense of harmony. So many people in this world are alienated from God, the Scripture says. They're in a place of disharmony with their God. The reason Jesus came was to save us, but to bring us into a place of harmony again with the God that created us and loves us. Gladness is an expression of being in harmony with God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our King. When we recognize that we all have, when we recognize that all we have comes from Him, and it's given to us freely, there's a sense of gratitude, but gladness that accompanies that recognition. We're glad about what the Lord has done. The psalmist says, come before Him with joyful songs. To come before the Lord is to choose to do so. There's intentionality here. Purposeful. You had to make a choice to come here this morning. You could have been home doing something else. But you made a choice. No, don't go there. Don't go there. You made a choice to come here this morning. Not to listen to me, but to worship God. Right? There's intentionality. We need to recognize who He is with thankful hearts. James says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Every good and perfect gift that there is comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. That's the kind of Father that we have. Who does not change like shifting shadows. This world is characterized by shifting shadows, but not our God, not our Father in heaven. So let's be the kind of people who thank the Lord and rejoice as we do. And I want to exhort your heart and mind to that, not only today, not only this week as we go into Thanksgiving, but that to be our disposition before God, to be thankful to Him and to rejoice in our thanksgiving. You know, it's so easy. I don't know about you, but I find for myself it's so easy to grumble and mumble my way through situations and circumstances with ingratitude. I mean, I even find myself doing that this week with the snow. It was like, oh no, this state sucks. The weather is horrible. No, this is the truth. And then you know what happened? No, this is a straight up truth. And I think this was the Lord. I think it was. I had this internal voice go off on my head, which said, how would you like to be in Paradise, California right now? And I was like, I went from like mumbling and grumbling and complaining to suddenly feeling convicted about the reality of the circumstance and my response to it in God. We need to be thankful for the Lord and to rejoice. And I would encourage you, if you're not already doing it, to pray for those people there. It's just an absolutely horrendous situation. So instead of grumbling and being ungrateful and exhibiting ingratitude, the Lord says, be thankful and rejoice as you are. You know why you can rejoice? Peter says, this is what God has given to us. His divine power, as a follower of Jesus, you've been given His divine power. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He's got all the bases covered. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. And has given us His very great and precious promises, Peter says, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature. That's not a future tense reality. That's a present tense reality. Past tense in that we have been given. Present tense in that we get to participate in the divine nature now. We do not have to wait till we see Jesus face to face to participate in the divine nature. He's given us great and precious promises, which by faith facilitate our participation in the very nature of God. And if that's not going to make us glad and rejoice and offer God thanks, I don't know what's going to. Next, the psalmist points to one who is the object of our thanks. We don't just offer thanks blithely. We have an object of our thanks. We celebrate who the Lord is and who we are. Who the Lord is and who we are in Him. Know that the Lord is God, he says. Know that the Lord that we worship is God, is the one true God, the sovereign Lord. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So here's the first thing. When we come to give thanks and to celebrate, we need to recognize that the object of our thanks and our celebration and our worship is God. The imperative here is know, and it carries with it the sense of acknowledging someone and confessing someone. We acknowledge that God is the Lord, and we confess Him as such in our worship. The people of God are to acknowledge Him, to confess Him as they worship, that He is the sovereign covenant Lord, the only true God. This is what Israel did as they processed in worship to the temple. They sang a hymn of corporate confession, acknowledging that the Lord is God and that there is none like Him, that He is matchless and mighty and merciful. He is creator and shepherd of His people Israel. Celebration is first a response to who God is and who we know Him to be. This is what the psalmist is declaring here. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not something we've conjured up. He is the pre-existent, eternal God who's called us into fellowship with Him through His Son by means of the person of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. We continue to celebrate Him in worship, not only because of the fact that He is God, but because we are His people. We belong to God. Israel knew that they were a people belonging to God, a people chosen by God. Exodus 3, 7 and 10, Exodus 19, 3 and 6 are two passages that speak specifically to that reality. And that God was their shepherd, the one who would care for them, feed them, nurture them, protect them always. I'm not quite sure what's happening to this microphone, but hopefully it won't continue. As they walked to the temple together in celebration, they resonated in their hearts with the reality that the one in whom they worshiped, or the one that they did worship, was the God that made them and called them to Himself. The same is true for us. We recognize the Lord as God, the one who created us and redeemed us, but the one who is now our shepherd. What did Jesus say? You know what He said. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It's not just one-way traffic there. He said, I know my sheep, but I give them the capacity to know me as the shepherd over their lives. We are the sheep that belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And we do know Him, even as we're known by Him. Now, we will know Him in an even greater and more intimate way, ultimately, than we do now. But we are in the process now of knowing our God. So celebrate the Lord. And your identity, our identity in Him. This kind of knowing of God and ourselves and that kind of celebration is captured again in a wonderful way by Peter. He says this. This speaks to our identity in God. He says, you are a chosen people. I want you to let this sink in this morning, because this is the word of the Lord to you, to all those that are in Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people. Once we did not have the identity that we now have in God. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We celebrate Him not just because of who He is, though rightfully we worship and celebrate Him because He is God, but also we celebrate with thanksgiving because we are now His people. Thirdly, we're called to give thanks in His presence. The psalmist says this, enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Notice there that the call and the invitation and the exhortation is to enter His gates with thanksgiving and to enter His courts. It's the place where He is. It's the designated place of His presence. And obviously in the Old Testament, we're talking about the temple. We're talking about the place where the presence of God was and where the people of God came to enter into His presence. We're now in a different reality, are we not? Because we worship a God that doesn't live in temples made with hands. We now are the temple, individually and corporately. We're invited into a place of worship in His presence. Enter His gates and His courts. The people of God have completed the joyful procession to the temple in this hymn. And they get there, and they're on the cusp. They're on the threshold of entering in. And once again, the call is to come with thanksgiving into God's presence. Up to now, the people have been making their way to the temple in procession. Processing to the place of God's presence. Thanking Him and celebrating Him as they processed along. Now they enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. There's a transition here. They go from procession into presence. The worshiping community of God's people enter into the temple courts. Worship requires that we enter in. That we respond to the invitation from the Lord. That we don't stand back and expect something to happen. We enter in to His courts. We enter into that place of praise. We respond to the invitation of the Lord through the Spirit. Secondly, we thank Him and we praise His name, the psalmist says. When we enter into that place of worship, it is thanks to God and praise of God that allows us to experience communion and intimacy with Him in worship. It's not about religious obligation. It's not about religious tradition. It's about a place of personal and corporate presence. Amen. Where we offer thanksgiving in His name. This phrase focuses our attention where it belongs, on the person of God. When we come to worship, we are here to focus on Him singularly. Our worship is about Him. Whatever our preferred mode of expression, and look, You've been around long enough to know there are many modes of expression of worship across the body of Christ. The commonality is that we worship Him, whatever mode of expression that looks like. We need to be careful, too, not to make our preferred mode of expression something that it isn't. Every expression of God's people in worship, I referred a moment ago to Gregorian chants. Now, they may not be high on your list of, you know, preferred expressions of worship, but they are an expression of worship to God, equally valid as anything we're doing here and have done here this morning. It's about Him and His name. Our call as a worshiping community of God is to step into that place of His presence and release praise. That's what we're called to do. As we do that, we'll be the kind of worshipers that Jesus said His Father's looking for. Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We will give worship, God-deserved worship, God-directed praise. He is the object of our worship. No one and nothing else. And lastly, I want you to see this from the psalm. We can celebrate the Lord's goodness and our blessing. His goodness and our blessing. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. The Lord is what? The Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. So the first thing we need to notice here is He's good and His love endures always. There's never a time when God is not good and where His love does not endure. The psalmist declares that the Lord's people celebrate because they recognize the nature and the attributes of their covenant-keeping God. He's good, and His love lasts. It endures. What a profound and powerful statement that is. The Lord is good. You remember Jesus said at one point when somebody was questioning Him, they asked Him, "Good Lord," and He said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." Here the psalmist declares, the Lord is good. He demonstrated that to Israel over and over again, from the Exodus to Canaan, from captivity to restoration. The goodness was expressed to them in the form of steadfast love, a love that endured, even when they were unresponsive, even when they were stiff-necked and disobedient. God's covenant and God's love to them endured. As God's people, Israel shared in the service of thanksgiving in the temple, as they remembered and celebrated the goodness of Yahweh and His enduring love. They celebrated the blessings that they received from the Lord. We can do the same thing. We should do the same thing. God is as good to us as He was to them. His love endures for us just as it did for them. He is the God, we're told in the New Testament by Paul. I was talking with a brother about this earlier in the week, who the apostle tells us in all things He works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Paul doesn't say that all things are good. All things are not good. But God works for our good in all things, as those loved by Him, as those called according to His purpose. Don't confuse the absence of good in some things with God. God remains good and is working even in the most difficult and sometimes horrendous of situations. Why does He work for good in all things? Because He is good, because He loves us, and His love towards us is going to endure. God has set His affections upon you. And He's not like shifting shadows. He doesn't set his affections on us one moment and then withdraw them the next. We are those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. This is our God. The psalmist says he's faithful forever, and he ends with that. Last week when we had our 25th year, we were just thinking back on the faithfulness of God over a quarter of a century to this church. God's faithfulness. But his faithfulness goes way back beyond that, doesn't it? His faithfulness goes back into the past. It's demonstrated in the present, and it moves us forward into the future, because we know that God is always faithful. His faithfulness continues to all generations, the psalmist declares. He not only works in all things for good, he not only loves us with an enduring love, he is faithful continually. Let that sink into your heart this morning. Celebrate the Lord's nature and his covenant and our covenant destiny in him. The God that was faithful to you in the past and is being faithful now will be faithful in the future to bring this whole thing to fruition as he promised. So today, rejoice in the goodness and love of God. We're destined to be full image bearers of our God. We were created in his image. That image got marred through the work of Jesus. That image has been restored to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, what does it say? The old is gone, the new has come. We are new creations in Christ. But there's a process going on, as Brad reminded us this morning, that process of sanctification throughout our lives. But when we see him as he is, we will become the full image bearers of God. Transformed, glorified. Paul talks about that in Romans 8. We are destined for that. That's something to celebrate. That's a blessing from God that we've received. I said a couple of weeks ago, we have received, Paul says, every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realms. We're blessed. That's not a cliche. That's not an evangelical throwaway phrase. We have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing. And he's faithful. So as you go into this Thanksgiving week, but beyond this, worship God, celebrate him with thanksgiving and joy, and shout it out. Let's have the worship team back up here, can we, for a minute? Let's shout to the Lord. Remember that phrase, shout, means a battle cry, a trumpet blast. Worship the Lord with gladness, for the Lord is good and his love endures. Now, we're gonna end this morning by doing that. So can you just stand with me? And we're just going to end with with celebration, with thanksgiving. And remember, it's directed to the Lord. He's the object of it all. He's the worthy recipient of our worship and our praise and our celebration. And let it go. Let it go. It's okay to use volume. God doesn't call us, let me just say this. He doesn't call us to exhibitionism. That's when the focus comes on us. But he does call us to express worship with him in the lens as the focus of our worship, and to do it with joy and thanksgiving. So let's do that.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns forever.
above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise.
To the mighty hand. Mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
So, Father, we thank you this morning. We shout with joy. We declare your name. We do it this morning without inhibition or embarrassment, Lord. You are the one. You're the object of our worship and our praise. You alone are worthy to receive both. And Lord, we celebrate you this morning. We worship you with gladness for who you are and who you've called us to be. We love you. We bless you. And on this Thanksgiving week, we offer you thanksgiving, Lord. But Father, I pray that that would be the disposition and attitude of our heart each day, 24/7, Lord, that we would be disposed to worship you, to declare your name, to do so with thanksgiving and with gladness. We love you and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have an amazing week. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, be safe. And whatever you do this week with family, friends, whoever you hang out with, have an amazing Thanksgiving. Bless you.